The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Baba Yakubu and Eugenia Jomo. In the headlines, President Mahama receives credentials of 4 new envoys. NDC to elect new executives in December. Government approves proposal to elect metropolitan, municipal and district chief executives. And next round of voting to elect new pope begins today. First, the summary by Eugenia. President Mahama has challenged 4 new envoys to Ghana to work at further improving bilateral relations and cooperation between their countries and Ghana. The president threw the challenge when he received their letters of credence and reports from their predecessors at the Flagstaff House. The 4 envoys are from Australia, Lebanon, Sweden, and Trinidad and Tobago. The International Business Initiative Direction, based in Madrid, Spain, has honored 2 universities in Ghana for their outstanding commitment to quality and excellence. They are the Valley View University, which took the Gold Award, and the Ghana Telecom University, the best in ICT. The proposal to elect metropolitan, municipal and district chief executives through the ballot has been given the nod by government, according to the Dean of Studies and Research at the Institute of Local Government and Research. Eric Uduro-Sai, per the new arrangement, the president will nominate 5 potential persons. And the next round of voting to elect a new pope will begin today after black smoke came out of the chimney of the Sistine Chapel last night, indicating that 115 cardinals charged to select the new pontiff could not choose one in the first ballot of their conclave. A white smoke from the chimney will mean a new pope has been selected.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
4 envoys have presented their letters of credence and reports from their predecessors to President John Mahama at the Flagstaff House in Accra. The 4 envoys are from Australia, Lebanon, Sweden and Trinidad and Tobago. President Mahama charged them not to follow the business as usual trend, but work towards stepping up bilateral relations and cooperation in various sectors between their countries and Ghana. Pascaline Adadivo with the report.
The Australian High Commissioner to Ghana, Joanna Danson, was the first to present her credentials and coincidentally the only female among 3 male colleagues. She sees her duty tour in Ghana as exciting. Ms. Danson pledged to work hard to boost relations between Ghana and Australia to a new level in the area of bilateral and multilateral relations. President Mahama urged her to woo the Australian private sector to Ghana's oil and gas sector. Australia already has a strong presence in Ghana's mining, education, infrastructure and agri sectors. The Lebanese ambassador Ali Hassan Haladi lauded Ghana's assistance in peacekeeping efforts during the civil war in that country. The Lebanese embassy in Accra for many years has been without an ambassador and has been run by a chargé d'affaires. Sweden's ambassador to Ghana is Svante Kilander. Sweden is a major development partner to Ghana and its private sector is well known in the telecommunications industry with its popular Ericsson mobile phone brand. President Mahama asked Mr. Kilander to work towards expanding business ties, particularly in the area of renewable energy. Trinidad and Tobago, the twin island state, is represented here by Nyahuma Obika. Ghana and Trinidad and Tobago have close historic ties. George Padmore, the great historian and Pan-Africanist, hailed from that country. All Ghana's past presidents also paid visits at some point to Trinidad and Tobago. President Mahama solicited that country support for Ghana's oil and gas sector.
As you're aware, Ghana has a fledgling young oil and gas industry, and it was necessary for us to learn from the experience of countries that have had the best practice in terms of utilizing oil and gas. And I must say that Trinidad and Tobago has been one of the countries that has shared freely its experience with Ghana. And so we want to continue to work together to see how we can up the bilateral relations between us. Trade between our two countries is low, but I'm sure that there are other sectors in which we can collaborate to improve, you know, the bilateral programs that we share.
Mr. Nyahu Malbika said Trinidad and Tobago is ready to share experiences and resources with Ghana. He advocated exchange programs between Ghana and Trinidad and Tobago on the technicalities regarding oil and gas.
We are very eager to engage the Republic of Ghana. I believe that time is now for us to work together, take control of our future. And in order to do that, we must therefore determine our present. The Republic of Trinidad and Tobago, though we are a very small twin island state, we are well prepared, willing and determined to join our hands and our feet across the Atlantic.
High Commissioner of Trinidad and Tobago, Nyahuma Obika, ending the report by Pascaline Adadevo. Government has given approval for the election of metropolitan, municipal and district chief executives through the ballot. The move is in line with the recommendation of the Constitution Review Commission explaining how the election will be done. The Dean of Studies and Research at the Institute of Local Government and Research, Eric Udruosai, believes per the new arrangement, the President will nominate 5 potential persons. The Public Services Commission then scrutinizes the list and presents 3 for election. In an interview with Radio Ghana, Mr. Osai said the election will not only make the people accountable, but also minimize government intervention.
The president would have to nominate a minimum of 5 qualified persons. These persons would then be subjected to a review or a competency interview and test by the Public Services Commission, after which 3 would be selected or recommended. These 3 would then be put up for election, one of which would then become the district chief executive. What is such that one, we are assured of competence, well, the Public Services Commission comes in. And then 2, because the people to whom this new chief executive would serve or represent would also be able to criticize them, and then they would also be able to hold them accountable for their activity. This is a marked departure from the previous process or the previous situation where president would have to nominate and then the district assembly would have to vote on the president's nominee. In that case, it is the district assembly that approves the president's nominee.
The Dean of Studies and Research at the Institute of Local Government and Research, Eric Odrusain, talking to Kingsley Obinchue. Commenting on the election of MMDCEs, a former Minister of Local Government and Rural Development in the Kufuor administration, Kojo Ejidakpo, said there's a need to look at how practicable this will be. This is because once the president has the power to nominate people, it means the process will still be partisan.
But now, even when they have scrutinized them and have selected 3, they are now going to campaign. Who are going to do a campaign for them? Definitely, they may all be from the same ruling party, but you will find party executive members, some party gurus and so on within the same district, now dividing themselves into 3 different groups, everybody campaigning for which party he supports. And is it not partisan that we are introducing? But that is against Article 248. So if we want to elect this chief executives, we will have to go the full hog. Let us look at everything under decentralization. 1, should we remove that 248 or we should maintain it?
Former Minister of Local Government and Rural Development in the Kufuor administration, Kojo Ejidakpo. The NDC will go to Congress to elect new executives by December 7 this year. This will be after all regions and branches have held theirs. The General Secretary of the party, Johnson Esiedun Ketia, who served in Accra at a news conference, also officially announced the reinstatement of former Deputy General Secretary of the party, Kofi Adams. Mr. Nketiah said these decisions were taken at the recent executive committee meeting. Cynthia Boateng has the rest of the story. The NDC Executive Committee recently met to deliberate on some important issues which needed urgent attention. These include the timetable for electing new party executives, computerization of data of members using biometric means, and the reinstatement of the former Deputy General Secretary, Kofi Adams. Mr. Siedun Ketia said by December 7th, the party will have reinstituted its National Executive Committee. He explained that by 31st July, all branches and regions will have elected their leaders.
Party constitution provides that Congress for the election of national identity is held once every 4 years. The current executives are in their 4th year, and our constitution also provides that the Congress must take place within 1 year after every general election. So, going by this computation, the party has from now up to December 7th or 8th, as the case may be, to do the National Delegates Conference to elect new leadership of the party at the national level.
Mr. Esiedun Ketia said the party will start a biometric registration for all members to enhance credibility and ensure that members pay their dues and act responsibly. He also recounted what led to the suspension of the former Deputy General Secretary, Kofi Adams, saying the disciplinary committee is satisfied with the apology rendered by Mr. Adams to the party's national committee.
On the 22nd of March 2012, the National Executive Committee received a petition from a member of the party complaining about the conduct of Mr. Kofi Adams, which in the opinion of a party member constituted anti-party conduct and which was in breach of the party's constitution. This has brought to a conclusion a very lengthy process of adjudicating on internal party matters, and to ensure proper disciplinary procedures are followed within NDC, and to uphold the supremacy of the NDC constitution and the principle that every member of the party is equal before the laws of the party, irrespective of your status.
The NDC General Secretary noted that the party respects internal democracy and believes it followed due process in dealing with Mr. Adams. He said members must act according to the rules and regulations of the party, and if they go contrary to any rule, the party has a responsibility to sanction them.
Cynthia Boateng reporting. The Anglican Archbishop of the Administrative Province of Ghana, the Most Reverend Dr. Daniel Yinkasafu, has called on religious leaders, churches, Muslims, the clergy, and civil society to intercede for the country to overcome economic hardship and political tension. He was of the view that the hardship and political tension have created a state of fear and panic. The Most Reverend Dr. Yinkasafu expressed these sentiments in a sermon to mark the 10th and 1st Bishopric anniversary celebrations of the Great Ernest Eternal Harvest International Ministry and the Safwa J Hospital in Kumasi. Razak Baba reports.
The Great Eternal Harvest International Ministry was founded by Dr. Safwa J 10 years ago, and also his elevation to the position as Bishop of the Church. Bishop Dr. Safwa J Frimpong established the hospital to serve the physical needs of the people. The Anglican Archbishop of Ghana, Most Reverend Dr. Daniel Yinka, expressed worry about the self-styled men of God who only focus on wealth at the expense of the poor and the needy. He said these prophets are believed to be the cause of some broken marriages, hatred, and disunity in society. The Archbishop added that all those claims professed by the so-called men of God are baseless and must therefore be ignored. He challenged Christians to seek guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit to bring divine intervention, progress, and unity in homes, churches, and families. For his part, the founder of the Greater Eternal Harvest International Ministry, Reverend Professor Safwa J Anani Frimpong, announced that plans are far advanced to establish a university.
Country Regional Correspondent Razak Babes report.
The wife of Vice President Matilda Amis Arthur has urged teachers to be of good role models and continue with the rural training of pupils. She commended the Methodist Church for its role in inculcating moral values in addition to striving to maintain academic excellence. Speaking in Accra at the launch of this year's Methodist Education Week, Mrs. Amis Arthur called on the church not to relent in helping to provide the teaching and learning materials to support government's efforts. We bring you the details.
The celebration of the Education Week is specifically designed to raise funds to support the development of education in the Northern, Upper East and Upper West regions. Available data indicate that by 2009, the Methodist Church had established in Ghana 719 kindergartens, 1,017 primary schools, 483 junior high schools, 20 senior high schools, 22 vocational schools, 3 colleges of education and 1 university. The second lady, Mrs. Amisa Arthur, recalled the Methodist Education Policy, which emphasizes that education should be based on academic excellence and the development of productive schools and virtues such as honesty and integrity. She added that the church must effectively ensure that teachers in their schools maintain quality teaching, discipline and be role models. She called for a strong collaboration between the religious bodies and the government to address the nation's educational needs. The presiding bishop of the Methodist Church of Ghana, the Most Reverend Professor Emmanuel Kweku Asante, in his keynote address said education is a means of fostering nationalism and citizenship. He called for the reopening of closed mission boarding schools to rekindle the bond of unity among Ghanaians from different ethnic groups. A former Director General of the Ghana Education Service, the Reverend Ama Afoble, herself a Methodist, appealed to adherents of the faith to work hard to restore the reputation of Methodist schools as a place of moral and academic excellence.
That was a news desk report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. Now the major stories. President Mahama receives credentials of 4 new envoys. NDC to elect new executives in December. Government approves proposals to elect metropolitan, municipal and district chief executives. And next round of voting to elect new pope begins today.
Radio Ghana, the ultimate news reference. We are reliable. The world listens to our voice.
Welcome back. Two Ghanaian universities, the Valley View and Ghana Telecom University, have been honored in Geneva, Switzerland for their outstanding commitment to quality and excellence. Valley View picked the Gold Award in customer satisfaction, leadership, strategic planning and benchmarking, while the Ghana Telecom University was adjudged the best in ICT. The award ceremony was organized by the International Business Initiative Direction based in Madrid, Spain. We bring you more.
The award ceremony is held every year to honor selected institutions. This year's event was attended by about 400 countries across the world. In all, 74 universities received awards in various categories. Briefing the media in Accra on taking the Gold Award, the Vice Chancellor of Valley View University, Professor Daniel Boer, was grateful for the honor done the school, adding that the honor follows a similar one recently, which ranked the university as the best private university in Ghana and the fifth among universities in the country. He hopes the Geneva Award will spur faculty on to greater heights. Professor Boer pledged the determination of the school to remain significant to education in Ghana, adding that as a Christian university, they will strive to maintain quality in training to turn out employable students.
That was the news desk report.
Ghana has swept the first 3 positions in the May-June WASI examinations. The candidates competed with their colleagues in Nigeria, Sierra Leone and the Gambia. The head of National Office of WAEC, Reverend Samni Olenu, announced this at the 2012 WASI Distinction Awards in Accra. Reverend Olenu said WAEC has resolved to curb examination malpractices and has introduced the biometric capture of candidates' fingerprints to eliminate impersonation at the November-December WASI. Asibi Bangui Kela witnessed the ceremony.
The head of National Office, WAEC, Reverend Sam Olenu, said the eligibility criterion for the awards is that a candidate must obtain a minimum of 8 grade A1s. The 530 grade A1s is unprecedented in the history of the awards and an improvement over the previous year when 84 candidates satisfy the criterion. This is also the first time that some students who offered agriculture, visual arts, technical and home economic programs have satisfied the criterion. Social studies again topped the list, while mathematics and integrated science also recorded an improvement. Reverend Olin said certain negative factors that accounted for the poor show in other subjects include lack of answering skills and understanding of questions, inadequate preparation, illegible handwriting and poor application of technical terms, and inability to think theory with practicals. To address these weaknesses and improve the performance of candidates, the chief examiners recommended intensive and extensive reading of relevant materials by candidates. Teachers should also ensure that all syllabuses are wholly covered before the examination. Other recommendations are that candidates studying science and technical subjects should be exposed to industry for a hands-down approach towards the acquisition of the needed skills.
Asibi Bangui Kele's report. The Spinet Textile and Garment Cluster, an advocacy association of the textiles and garment industry, is complaining that the influx of inferior textiles is killing its market. Members of the group mention the porous nature of the country's borders, which allow people to smuggle inferior textiles with fake stickers from the Ghana Standards Authority into the country. The president of the association, Edwina Assan, made the complaint at a news conference in Accra. She said the inability to deal with the situation has drastically affected the production capacity of textile industries by 60%. Yvonne Atiligo reports.
The influx of cheap and inferior textiles into the Ghanaian market has persisted for some time now. This has even prompted the Ministry of Trade and Industry at some point in time to ban seized foreign textiles. Even with this harsh measure, the problem still persists. Mrs. Edwina Assan said aside the cheap and inferior textiles and garments smuggled into the country, especially from Asia, these textiles and garments are sold cheaply on the local market, making it difficult for local products to compete. She expressed the hope that these challenges can be solved if concerted efforts are put in place to deal with textile smuggling.
One of our main concerns is the standard of textile smuggling and pirating of textiles. The strict enforcement of one port destination for all imported textiles should be maintained. The need for serious focus on the protection of intellectual property with regards to pirating of local textile designs. What can be done to Ghanaians who are pirating local designs and printing them outside, selling them over there with inscriptions as made in Ghana? Corruption at the borders must be checked to ensure that a high sense of integrity and patriotism helps reduce the influx of cheap textile products onto the market.
The president of the association also called for more competitive pricing for local textiles and garments.
Yvonne Atiligo reporting. The Food and Drugs Authority, FDA, has started registering cold stores in the country. This is to ensure that operators adhere to strict compliance of rules and regulations governing the activities. The head of department in charge of animal products, Dr. Mohamed Alpha, who announced this in Accra, said the move is to protect consumers from patronizing unwholesome products. Brighton Trauma has more.
The meeting between owners of the cold stores and the Food and Drugs Authority was to take the owners through the processes of acquiring license for their operations. With the recent seizure of fake drugs and the prevalence of foodborne diseases worldwide, the Food and Drugs Authority has intensified its campaign to ensure food safety. The FDA has therefore come up with new guidelines to have all bulk and cold storage facilities licensed. The guidelines require cold store operators to have a standby generator before a license can be obtained. The head of department of the Food and Drugs Authority in charge of animal products, Mohamed Alfa, explained that the move is not to stifle business, but rather address concerns relating to food security. He said an operator will have his or her license revoked if the storage facility does not conform to the best standards.
Many of them don't own the storage facility. They only go to rent. And as we go to inspect and we see certain non-compliances and then we make recommendations, we have come to realize that the implementation of those recommendations is not up to what we expected. Mm-hmm. Then we realize that no, we should go beyond dealing with the importers and also deal with the owners of the facilities themselves. Fish, meat, chicken, because of the high protein in it, it is highly perishable. And for that matter, the temperature regime or the cold chain must always be maintained for it to be in the best state for the final consumer.
The Deputy Chief Executive Officer, Odami Dakwa, asked the operators to implement measures that will safeguard the safety and quality of animal products.
Brighton Tramis report. The European Union says it will begin the operation of the Schengen short stay visas from the 14th of this month. This is in relation to the visa information systems as decided by the European Commission in 2009. The head of the EU delegation in Ghana, Claude Martin, said this at the media briefing in Accra. He said the start of operations of Schengen visas are part of a gradual worldwide deployment of visa information systems in all consulates of Schengen states. It is anticipated that the global rollout of Schengen visas will take at least 2 years or more to be firmly grounded across the world.
An Accra Fast Track High Court has ordered the Ghana Standards Authority to expedite action on its report involving some liquid substance suspected to be cocaine that was concealed in a cosmetic consignment shipped in the country by two Nigerians. This order followed worried submissions expressed by the Defense Counsel to the effect that reports on the forensic examinations conducted on the seized substance is yet to come in. Both councils prayed that the Narcotic Board Control, NACOB, investigate in the matter, speeds up its processes to enable the prosecution to begin the trial. One of the suspects, Chief Sunny Ekechukwu Benji Eke, is said to have suffered a serious medical condition.
And on the foreign front, black smoke billowed from the chimney of the Sistine Chapel last night, indicating that cardinals gathered at the Vatican to elect a new pope had not chosen one in the first ballot of their conclave. The start of the secret election started yesterday as the heavy wooden doors to the chapel swung closed on the 115 cardinals charged with selecting the new pontiff. The next round of voting will begin today. Results will be revealed by puffs of smoke from the chimney following each ballot. A white smoke from the chimney will mean success has been made in selecting a new pope, while a black smoke means no pope.
Zimbabwe's Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai has challenged moves by President Robert Mugabe's supporters not to allow international observers to monitor the upcoming elections. He says there was no agreed government policy on banning international observers to monitor elections. He however said there are very strong indications that some say some countries must be excluded from international observation because of sanctions.
UN missions in South Sudan has moved hundreds of peacekeepers to troubled state in South Sudan ahead of an expected government offensive against fighters loyal to David Yaw Yaw, leader of a rebel group. The deployment comes as UN leader Ban Ki-moon expressed concern about extrajudicial killings by the South Sudan army and its reprehensive downing of a UN helicopter last year. The peacekeepers were moved into Joglai State, which is a scene of large-scale massacres in that country.
To end the news, the main point again. President Mahama has challenged four new envoys to Ghana to work up further improving bilateral relations and cooperation between their countries and Ghana. The four envoys are from Australia, Lebanon, Sweden, and Trinidad and Tobago. The International Business Initiative Direction based in Madrid, Spain, have honored two universities in Ghana for their outstanding commitment to quality and excellence. They are the Valley View University, which took the Gold Award, and the Ghana Telecom University, the best in ICT. Proposal to elect metropolitan, municipal and chief executives through the ballot has been given a nod by government. According to the Dean of Studies and Research at the Institute of Local Government and Research, Eric Osai Odru, per the new arrangement, the president will nominate five potential persons. And the next round of voting to elect a new pope will begin today after black smoke came out of the chimney of the chapel last night, indicating that the 115 cardinals charged to select a new pontiff could not choose one in the first ballot. The news was presented by Barbara Yakubu
and Eugenia Jamo.